You know, there are certain things that I like to do. I like to just sit down and watch a good movie. Actually, in movies and in books too, oftentimes I like things that are a little bit different than what you might like in a movie. I mean, sure, I love to have a good story and well-developed characters, but what I really love is world building. I love to hear about a new world and just how it works. So, if you watch the Harry Potter movies, maybe you watch them because you just like to hear about Harry and his friends and the adventures they went on. But me, I watch them loving to see, now, how does magic work in this world? How does it work having some people who can do magic and then the muggles, the people who just are living apparently just the life like we live in this world, while being surrounded by wizards? How does that work out? And so I'd watch the movies and I'd think, yeah, you know, the fourth movie wasn't very good. They didn't explain any new spells or anything like that. I mean, yeah, there was character development. There was plot that happened. Harry grew as a person. His friends are better for it. But I just kind of wanted to learn about some more spells. You know, I'm the type of person that a book editor would say, cut out this material, no one wants to read it. And I'd be, no, I want that stuff. I'd be more than willing to read the reference book to the world of Harry Potter. Just cut out the novel part and just give me the world. I'd love to see that. My wife likes to watch the show Doctor Who. That she enjoys those stories, they can be fun. And oftentimes I'll be in the room with her when she turns on an episode, and I'll pull up on my tablet just the synopsis, and I'll read through the episode real quick. Doesn't look like anything interesting happened. Oh, there is a scene where they tell you something new about the TARDIS, and I just want to make sure I catch that scene. So if that happens, let me know. Because I just want to hear more about that world. I want to know what goes on, what makes it tick. Maybe some of you are like that you just love to find out how things work. So if you have a new video game for your kids that you want to find out how the world works and how you can do the best in that game, in that system. You read books and you want to find out the new worlds that they let you explore. Then you try something new and you want to figure it out. Maybe you're an engineer and you want to understand the system behind it. Maybe you're the opposite. Maybe your passion is human stories. You want to know stories that touch your heart. So you want to watch movies like The Notebook. There is like no world building in The Notebook. It's just our world, which I already know about. But it is about people who meet and they fall in love and they grow as people and they grow old. And you see that whole story play out with those people. Maybe that's your passion. You love stories like that, about people and their journey. Maybe you don't like fiction at all. Maybe you love hearing real people's stories. You'll take a good biography any day. I just want to know who this person really was. Different things draw different people. That we are passionate about different things. As we, this month, are looking at missions, you'll see we have the flags up, we have the display in the back. Missionaries are passionate people. People who are drawn to a certain type of ministry. Most missionaries don't go out into the field just because they think, I'm kind of bored, don't have anything else to do. Why not travel around the world and give up everything I know to minister some people? Most of them go because they have a calling on their life, a passion that has touched them. The last few weeks we've been talking about the church and how we fit into it, what the church is called to do, what Christians are called to, and importantly, how each of us is gifted. The spiritual gifts that we have, how we are equipped for service, but our equipping is not enough to know where and how to serve in the church. Because it doesn't end just with our equipping by God. It must be also in a way that we can serve with passion, how our hearts are stirred up. I think passion, when it really comes down to it, is a willingness to spend our energy on something. When you're passionate about something, you are willing to spend your energy on that. That passionate people are willing to spend the energy they have on what they're passionate about. Maybe some of you are passionate about your family. That if there's a lull in the conversation, you're going to say, hey, have I ever told you about my grandchildren? Have I ever told you about my kid? I went to a party recently where a bunch of people my age all got together and they handed out little poker chips and they said, all right, whoever has the most of these at the end of the night gets $20. And the rule is, if you mention your child, someone can take a chip away from you. Anything else is fair game, but if you mention your kid, you're losing out. Because as parents, we are so caught up in the world of our children that it's easy to let that be the only thing we talk about. But that's true of each of us with our passions. That if you are passionate about something, you want to speak about it. You want to share it with people. That you'll bring it up in conversation, even when it doesn't really fit, because you just love to talk about it. That when you're passionate, you want to use your energy on that thing. Some of us are blessed with enough strength and youth that we don't have to worry about conserving energy. I know my daughter certainly does not. That you set her to any kind of task and she goes at it full throttle. Maybe more than full throttle. That she will run to anything. She will never walk unless I'm holding her hand, dragging her back. That she is ready to pour her energy out on things. But for most of us, as we get older and our energy level decreases, you have to kind of think through, how am I going to use the energy I have? For some of us, if you asked us to carry a box from downstairs to up here, we'd say, no problem, sure, I'll grab that box, not a second thought. For some of you, that would be a big commitment. You'd have to plan the rest of your day around moving that box. I guess I can move it up there, but man, I'm going to be beat the rest of the day. Maybe some of you have designed your houses over the fact that you don't want to go upstairs because you don't have the energy to do it. That you have purchased a place to live based on the energy you have available to you. And yet, the things that you are passionate about, you're willing to spend your energy on. That you're willing to protect the energy you have. No, I'm sorry, I can't do that because there's something that I care about more than I need to save my energy for. Today we're going to be talking, of course, about passion. We're looking at passion in the church and how it directs where we serve and how we serve God's kingdom. We're going to look at a number of verses, but I'm going to start us off in Romans. I'm just going to read one verse here out of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, it's verse number 11. This is what it says, Romans 12, 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Let me read that again. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. We are to be people who are passionately serving God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your willingness to be with us today. That you do dwell with us, and we ask today that you would open our hearts that we would hear from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that as Christians, we are called to serve God with passion. That is what this verse says. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. As Christians, we are called to serve God with passion. And today I'm going to show you three types of passion, three ways that passion affects how we serve. The first is that there are some passions that are passing. There are some passions that are passing. Passions that come for a time, but don't last your entire life. There are some passions that come only for a moment. And I hope that as you are involved in the church, that your passions are stirred up by the people around you. As we talked about spiritual gifts in the previous weeks, we know that those gifts are made for the encouragement of the church, that they are designed to build up the people around you. And part of that is you may catch someone's passion. That someone who is passionate about evangelism, you may catch that passion from them, at least for a time, to see how your heart is turned by that passion. There are a lot of things just in our lives that are like this. Passions that when they come, you don't know if this is forever or as your parents may have told you, it's just a phase. That if you're a teenage boy, if you're in middle school or high school, you may have a passion for kissing the girls. You might not have ever kissed one, but boy, wouldn't that be great? And as a teenage boy, you could imagine, man, 10-hour makeout session. That's what we're doing this Saturday. If I can just find a girl. Because that's the passion. But that is a passion which almost certainly is passing. That being married for years and years, have any of you been married for over 30 years? A few? And do you still have hour-long makeout sessions? No, actually, don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. No. I hope that none of you could see the hands that went up. But that is a passion that comes, and it is a great passion, but it has its time. Maybe you have passions like this for the holidays, that when Christmas comes, you buy in to Christmas. Oh, it is Christmas. Everything is now Christmas. Maybe you just have this with pumpkin spice. Ah, pumpkin spice time of the year is here. It's not for Halloween, it's not for fall, it's pumpkin spice season. And I'm going to get everything pumpkin spice. You got your toothpaste, you got your donuts, you got your coffee, you got your steering wheel covers. Stop the traffic, you need that pumpkin spice bit. Good to go. That can be your passion for a season. That maybe you have that. In fact, in the church we have this around Christmas and Easter. That we want to make a big deal of those things because those are impactful events in the history of salvation. And we want to build passion around those at their seasons. There are some passions that are passing. And we want you in the church, as you begin to serve, to get connected to things, even if you think this might not last. Even if you think this passion may not stick around. Because we want you to try and serve in a variety of ways and see what passions do stick around. Because, yes, there are passions that are passing, but there are also passions that are permanent. There are passions that are permanent. That, as it says in our verse, never be lacking in zeal. That there are areas of Christian service that are going to appeal to you your entire life. That you are going to be zealous for these things as you serve God until the day you die. There are passions in our life that follow this, that are permanent passions, or that at least are meant to be permanent. That you should have a permanent passion in your marriage. And that doesn't mean that it's always going to be fun. Because there are times when you are passionate about something, but it's not because you enjoy it. It's not because you're just excited to do it. You might be passionate about weeding your garden because you want to have that finished. And yet you have no joy from weeding your garden. In the same way, you may be passionate about your marriage, but I guarantee you there are going to be times when your marriage is no fun. When your commitment to that marriage and your willingness to spend energy on that marriage keeps it going and rebuilds the joy you have there. But that which does not start with just the joy ongoing in your life. That there are passions you have that will follow you your whole life, good times and bad times. Maybe serving in the church, you have a passion for a group of people. It could be the same age group that maybe 30 years ago you started out serving in the nursery. And you've stayed in the nursery for 30 years watching generations of children come up. Letting their parents have the time to attend the service. Maybe you've done the opposite, where 30 years ago you were serving in the nursery, and then a few years after that you were teaching Sunday school, and then a few years after that you moved into youth group. Today you're following that same group of people who are now in their 30s, and you're trying to minister to them as they raise their own kids. That you have stuck with that passion. For some of our missionaries, they have had a permanent passion for a group of people. To see one group reached. That they have had a passion that stuck with them as they served. For each of us here in this church, I hope that you have a permanent passion for the glory of God. That you have a permanent passion that never goes away to see God glorified in everything that you do. That you keep your spiritual fervor. in serving the Lord. That you are willing to devote your energy to see God's glory made known. That passion does not fade with time, but sticks with you, even when it is difficult. That is my passion. My passion for this church, for God's people. That people would hear the gospel. That is why so many times when I'm up here preaching, whatever the topic, I come back and I give you that gospel presentation, telling you about Jesus Christ, God made flesh, living a perfect life, dying for our sins, rising again, that we have the promise of life as well. Because I want to make sure that people hear that message. That behind everything else that we do on Sunday morning, there is that gospel story, that truth, proclaiming the glory of God. We have passions that are passing, that last for a time, and we have passions that are permanent, which I hope includes a passion for the glory of God. But there are also passions that are purposeful. Passions that are purposeful. Where your passion is stirred up to accomplish something. We see this in a few other verses. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians about Titus. Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. Someone who had that passion to go to these people. Again, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians. Your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. That this church was passionate about their ministry. That they were ready to give. And that their passion, the purpose that they had, caught up other people into it. In Romans, Paul says, I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. He had a purpose that he wanted to accomplish. And in this church, we have a purpose that we want to accomplish. That the role of the leadership of this church, that the pastors and the elders, we are here seeking the wisdom that God gives us to see a direction for this church, to set a purpose ahead of you, and to build that passion within you. You've already seen in the bulletin in the previous weeks that we are having our focus in the next months and years be living hope for all generations. That we have a purpose. That we believe this church does not exist only for the people who are here today in this room, but for the people who will be here 10 years from now, 50 years from now. And in the coming months, starting in November and going into the new year, Pastor Steve is going to be laying out that vision in more detail, showing us how we are focusing, how we are going to be serving the purpose that we believe this congregation here is called to. For many of our missionaries, this is the type of passion that they have. A passion to accomplish a purpose. To see something done. It can be hard to maintain our passion when we don't see any results. That if you pick up something new and you believe that this might be it, this might be your passion. Oil painting. And after 4 or 5 paintings, and 4 or 5 times and people have told you, that's a really nice smear? Landscape? Portrait? You maybe start to wonder, do I really care about that this much? That if you have no goal in sight and no progress towards that, it's easy to have your passion die out, or to be very frustrated with the means that you are using. Because we want to connect passion, but also giftedness. That as we are gifted in the church, and as we have a passion for the ministry and the purpose of this church, we find places where you can serve effectively. Where you do not grow weary of doing good. That your zeal is not lacking. That you are excited to come and serve and willing to use the energy you have for God's kingdom because you have bought into the purpose of this church. We'll be talking about that next week, about the focus that we have and in the coming weeks, the purpose that we have set on. The purpose that all generations might have the hope that we have. Our missionaries, or people who have linked their giftedness with their passion. Carolyn, who is serving, as we saw in Asia, she didn't go there because she just loves those people, but has no plan for what will happen there. She's there because her passion, the people would know God, and her care for those people is linked with her giftedness. The purpose would be fulfilled there, that God's glory would be made known, that people who are in spiritual darkness would see the light. That she would accomplish something. The leadership of this church believes that there is a purpose for us here. That it is not the same as just the general purpose of the church universal, although it certainly is in step with that purpose. The church overall is called to evangelism, to witnessing, to ministering to first to believers and then to those in the world. And our church, yes, follows that as well, but that we have a specific purpose for us here today. That if the next generation here is going to hear the gospel, we must be a part of that. As we are going through this next few weeks, our hope is that you understand where you are gifted. That if you haven't done a spiritual gift inventory, or if the sermon last week where you were able to write down people who had different gifts wasn't enough to convince you, that you would find your spiritual gift, that you would know the gift that people around you have, how God is able to use them effectively. That you would also buy into the purpose of this church, and that you would have a passion for that. We have a number of ministries, and as people are passionate, if they approach myself, Pastor Steve, one of the elders, and they say, I have a passion to do this. Our response is almost always, yes, yes. If you have a passion for that, we want you to serve where you have passion. We want you to be eager to spend your energy on the service of God's kingdom. As we are kind of narrowing our focus in some ways in the months to come, there may be some areas of ministry that we decide we will be putting aside for a time. So we'd say, this is a great ministry, and we love it, and we love that you have a passion for this type of ministry. But we're going to change the way we do it, because we want to focus in. We want to do things in a purposeful way. And we hope that you will be on board, that even if it's a place that you have enjoyed serving in the past, this is a ministry that you love, we hope that you would be on board with the purpose of this church, that your passion can be directed to serve in a way that we are all moving in the same direction. That we are all working together as one body to accomplish what God has for us today. We hope that when you hear things like, in the next year, I want to raise for the youth group $10,000. That your reaction isn't, what? $10,000? You're out of your mind. But that you say, what? $10,000? How many kids are going to youth group now? Who all is going to go on this trip? The other year you sent two kids and now you need $10,000? What is happening in this church? That your passion would come into that ministry to the youth. That you would see the purpose of sending kids across the country for a week. That you would buy into that. Not just, $10,000, let's see, there's like 150 people that come to church here. We have like 10 more months before they go on thing, so everyone needs to chip in like, what, $20 a month? So let's all chip in $20 if we just have to. But that you would buy into the idea that the youth group is an important part of this church. That we want to minister to the kids in this church, and part of that is sending them on these events that they have extended time together growing in God's Word. Maybe right now, one of you is saying, you know what? I believe that. And I'll write a $10,000 check right now. I encourage you, maybe don't do that quite yet. If you want to swoop in at the end and give us $10,000, we'll love you for it. But we want this to be something that the entire church buys into. And as much as I would love to next week say, we got our $10,000, I want each of you to have the passion for the youth, to see their role in the ministry of this church, to be willing to spend your energy on them. And the same will be true for a variety of ministries, a variety of ways that you can serve in this church, that you would see the purpose that we have for the months and weeks ahead, that you would see the work that God is doing in this church, that you would buy into the purpose that we will be laying out in the weeks to come, that your passion would be stirred, that you would be serving in spiritual fervor, knowing that this is important. Where are you passionate? Where does God stir your heart? Where does God direct you to serve? We hope that you have that unending passion for the glory of God, that we can stir that up in you with our Sunday morning services, with our times of worship, with sharing our lives with you. That under that banner of God's glory, you would be passionate to serve. That you would find areas in the church that speak to your heart. That you would look at them and say, I love these people. And I want to serve them. I want to see this done. And we also hope that as we come into the new year, that you would buy into the mission of this church. That you would see yourself as a missionary in our community here. That you would embrace the purpose that we have. That God would pull at your heart and that we would be a body all moving as one, energized by the same passion. That is our hope for the coming year. The passion that you and I will share, bringing glory to God. Amen.